This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Chapter 3, on the life of St. Paul the Apostle.
My name is Demarius. In my time, I lived in the days that followed the crucifixion of Christ, when the Christian faith was a new one, and to many, a strange one, and when its missionaries were pioneers. Many of them had known Christ personally, but there was one who had seen and spoken to him in a vision. He was Paul, one of the two men who this night rested in a cave on a mountainside. The other was Silas, one of the new apostles. Now, this was the start of Paul's second missionary journey, and this time he was not accompanied by Barnabas.
Paul, are you asleep?
No.
Were you thinking of him?
Who?
Barnabas.
No. I was thinking of what's ahead.
But you miss him.
I miss no man. Barnabas was a good companion, a good friend. We disagreed and we elected to go our separate ways. But I shall always love him. I even respect his loyalty to his cousin Mark.
But you don't respect Mark.
Oh, he's a nice enough young fellow, but not one I could depend on. I took him with me on my last journey, and he turned back. He could do it again.
Still, he went with Barnabas.
I wish them both luck. But I'm glad enough to have you as my companion this time.
Paul, it was just that I can't help feeling that you might miss Barnabas. After all, you and he went through quite a lot together.
It was our privilege to suffer. He did not suffer for me, but for Christ. And you can be sure you will share that same privilege with me.
At least you know something of the country ahead and the people we'll meet.
Enough to know that our lot will be a few floggings, and no doubt prison, if not death. Enough to know that we who are Jews will suffer persecution from the Jews.
Well, you better sleep.
You sleep. I'll keep watch.
Then wake me in a couple of hours and I'll relieve you. And keep your sword handy. I've heard the sound of wild animals in this neighborhood.
Over mountains, across raging rivers, they made their way across Asia Minor. And where they found a village or town, they preached the gospel. Some listened. Many rejected them, driving them away. Until they came to Lystra, where Paul was known. And it was here that Timothy joined them. And now they went across the wilderness of Galatia. And in one place, Paul became sick with fever.
Paul, how do you feel?
I have felt worse.
But you see how the seed of Christ is flourishing in this place. Today, even as I lay here in bed, they came to me. And I baptized more than 20.
Tomorrow no one will disturb you.
Oh, it would disturb me if no one came.
In the days that followed, Paul recovered his strength. And it was then that Luke, who was also a physician, appeared in Galatia and came to see Paul.
Sorry I took so long getting here, Paul. How are you?
Better now, thanks. You might have been too late to even pray over me.
In that case, Paul, I'd have joined the others and prayed for your soul. And then begged Silas to let me take your place and go on with him.
You talk like a real friend.
I've found my strength, Paul, in Christ.
God be with you, Luke. Where's my old friend Barnabas? Is he in this country?
We parted when I came up here. I don't know where he is.
Which way did he go?
Into the wilderness.
And where did you go?
With you, if I may.
I welcome you, Luke. And thank the Lord for giving me such a worthy companion.
And they went on, until they came to Troas. And standing at the water's edge, Paul looked out across the sea toward Macedonia.
And so we go no further, eh?
Macedonia lies across there.
A good many places lay in that direction.
I was just thinking, if you once set foot in Macedonia, you might go on to Rome.
Rome.
There are many roads that lead there, so I'm told.
And I'm told it's a place filled with wickedness.
There is wickedness closer to us than we'd find in Rome. Most of the cities across Macedonia and Greece.
And you would have me go to them?
It's something to think about.
I don't know, Luke. I'm not sure Christ would want us to carry his name to places like that. Lord Jesus, let me know thy will. Let me be thy true instrument. Brother Silas, good morning.
Good morning.
Where are Luke and Timothy?
They went swimming.
Oh, then they must wait for the news. Silas, we're leaving for Macedonia.
Last night they told me you were not sure.
This morning I'm quite sure. Now I know we must go to Macedonia, and even beyond it.
The distance by water from Troas to Philippi in Macedonia is not far, and Paul and the others sailed. And when they set foot there, they saw that many roads from all parts of the world met there. The marketplace was like many other marketplaces they had known. Travelers from far-off Persia and India. Merchants from the Black Sea, from Baghdad, Jerusalem, and Damascus. Fakirs, fortune-tellers, snake-charmers. And there were Jews, Greeks, Romans, pagans, Arabs, Nubians. And fair-skinned, blue-eyed men from countries far to the north.
All the smells in the world must be here.
And all the sins of the world, too.
Well, we expected that.
Behold! Behold, these men are servants of the Most High God.
Look.
Who is she?
A gypsy.
Or a slave girl.
Behold! Behold, these men are servants of the Most High God.
All, she means us. Did you hear what she said?
I know one thing. She's drawing attention to us.
How would she know who we are? We've only just come here.
Behold, for I tell you, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they proclaim to you a way of life.
Who are you, girl?
A slave girl, master, possessed by a devil.
Possessed?
By the spirit of the python, master, since my birth.
She means she's a fortune teller.
Are you one, girl?
I am many things to my masters. Yes, I have the power to divine the future. But the power is a curse on me, for it brings profit only to those I serve. And I remain a slave.
You knew us for who we are?
Oh, yes. You are disciples of the Christ.
You know who Christ is, then?
Nothing goes unknown in the marketplaces.
But how did you know who we are?
I defined it.
By what power?
By the power of the devil that possesses me.
What do you think, Silas?
She's telling the truth.
I think so, too. And this devil guided her to us to tempt us.
Is that true, girl?
I do not know that. But I think it could be true. The devil is a wicked spirit.
At least you know that.
Yes, Master. I was told that even in Persia, where I was born.
The spirit of the python, you said.
Yes. A most evil one.
Then be cleansed of this evil. In the name of Jesus Christ. Know that you are cleansed?
Yes.
Then I will also baptize you.
Blasphemous dog!
And who are you?
He is one of my masters.
Take your hands off that wench!
Stand aside.
Stand aside! You dare tell me to stand aside? You, get out of this land! Get out, you pair of vagrants!
Poor lodgings, eh?
Good enough for swine, and that's about what we are in this place.
Vagrants, they call us.
Our last money paid for the trip here, so I suppose we are vagrants. I promise to work 3 days to pay the lodgings we'll enjoy tonight.
There's a merchant next door who sells bread. Perhaps he'll let me work a day or two for a loaf of bread. I'd better go and talk to him.
Listen.
The crowd in the marketplace.
At this time of night?
It comes from that direction.
Oh, Brother Silas, I fear we've made enemies here.
Over the cleansing of that girl?
We've deprived her masters of their income. And I saw that fellow who snarled at us talking to some Jews. I fancy they'll join forces against us.
I think it's already happened. Listen.
They're coming here.
Luke and Timothy, where are they?
Sightseeing, just as well. No need for all of us to get in trouble.
Open up, or we'll drag you out. Open up, you miserable vagrants.
Open the door, or they'll break it down.
The crowd came for the two apostles and dragged them to the marketplace, where Paul and Silas were flogged in public. And the Jews, fearing that the teachings of Christ would undermine the laws of Moses and Abraham, joined with the Greeks and pagans in persecuting the two apostles. And when the floggings were over, Paul and Silas were thrown unconscious into a dungeon and were chained to the floor with other prisoners.
Lord Jesus, I praise thy name for our suffering. Oh, what joy it brings to know we suffer in thy name.
Paul,
you've come too. Thank God.
We're chained.
Chains cannot hold us.
I've not the strength to break them.
Our strength is in the Lord.
Even our combined strength will not break these chains. Much less batter down these dungeon walls.
Silas. Silas. Have you forgotten the power of prayer? You've seen it. You have used it. You know nothing can stand against prayer if it comes from the soul. Look to the Lord, and we shall be free.
They prayed, and even as they prayed, they heard a sound like that of distant thunder, and they felt the ground beneath quiver and tremble.
Paul, you hear?
I hear, and I feel.
And I know the Lord is answering our prayer.
It's an earthquake.
It is Christ freeing his servants.
And the walls of the dungeon collapsed about the apostles, and the chains were broken. And without harm, they walked free. The earthquake ended. But in many parts of the city, terror filled the people, for they associated the earthquake with the two apostles. And there was one who was in grievous fear, because the two apostles had escaped prison. And this man was the jailer. Whereupon, Paul went to see him.
I come to forgive you.
That you come at all is yet another miracle. For you escaped prison and now you come back to surrender.
Not to surrender, but to forgive.
Forgive?
The people cried out against me. And when they had flogged me, they put me in prison. Know you not that I am a Roman citizen?
Roman citizen?
And that it is unlawful to lay hands on a citizen of Rome? And that to flog one is a crime against Rome itself? And you have committed and allowed these things to be committed. And in so doing, you have broken the law.
I did not know you were a Roman citizen. Is the other one also?
He is one also.
Oh, then my crime is twofold.
And still I tell you not to fear.
You will not press against me or the magistrates?
Besides the one who was with me in prison, there are others. There is one named Luke. And when we leave here, Luke will remain in this city.
Will he preach?
He will preach the gospel. And no one shall interfere with him.
No one. I'll see to it. Not the Jews, nor the Greeks, nor the pagans.
Then I have your promise.
But did you cause the earthquake?
Christ heard our prayers. We prayed for deliverance, and he sent deliverance.
Master, if he will have me, I will turn to him. You talk about something you call baptism. Then baptize me in his name, and all my family, and my slaves, and all those around me.
In these days, I had not yet met Paul, but when he and Silas and the others came to Athens, where I lived, then did I meet him, for I became a convert. And he and the others lodged in my house, and I could talk with him.
There is nothing here for us.
But the people listen.
And hear nothing.
I heard.
But the others walked away.
Still, they are intelligent, intellectual.
Their culture is the culture of Athens and belongs to the dead past.
Isn't it also of the present?
It decays. No culture, no civilization can long endure without Christ. Even the Roman Empire decays. It cannot last.
But this is not Rome.
No. Nor can I squander years of my life on a people who think they are too intellectual to hear the word of Christ.
But only because they try to reason.
Their reason is based on pride and founded on false theories and beliefs. Whereas the culture of Jesus Christ, with all its mysteries, is eternal and founded on the one truth.
That God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. So, you are leaving?
I will do what the Lord commanded. in places where his word is rejected by all, I will shake the dust of that place from me and go elsewhere. Only I must go alone. With my bare hands, I cannot earn enough to support myself and those with me. I'll have to ask Silas and Timothy to go back. Perhaps to Jerusalem and find money.
And so he left Athens, disappointed in what he found there. Yet, the seed of Christianity was planted. When he left Athens, he went on foot to Corinth, which was even more wicked than Athens. And he stood there looking at the Corinthian women who filled the houses.
So here the goddess Lust is worshipped.
And so is her brother Money.
Who are you, my friend?
A pagan. My name is Titus.
Are you of this city?
A merchant.
And you're opposed to Money and Lust?
I'm aware they exist, that they are our foremost industry. And who are you?
A Jew who follows Christ. My name is Paul.
You're in poor condition. I judge the followers of Christ find small profit.
Our Lord said, "Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit riches."
Well, come and share my table. You look hungry.
Is there a synagogue here?
Well, more than one.
I will go to one of these first.
Paul found many friends in Corinth and many who would listen to him. But they belonged to the lower classes, and some were slaves, and others were drenched in sin. In these days, Silas and Timothy came back with financial help.
So Silas, tell me which way you came back.
By the same road we traveled together.
And how do things go?
Better than we dared to hope. The church is growing, even in places where they flogged us and put us in jail.
Praise the Lord.
And how are things going here?
How long has it been since I came here? Over a year. Yes, I would say things are going well here, too. I have even converted some of the Jews.
Have you been persecuted?
There have been times, yes. I've been put through mud and filth and beaten. Still, the name of our Lord is glorified here, and I am alive.
And now do we go on to Rome?
No. We must finish here. And perhaps then go back to where we came from.
Peter has been there. To Rome, I mean.
Then we must meet him and discuss how important Rome is to the church. What is it now? The center of an empire. Silas. Do you think a place like that could long harbor the church? Or even allow the church to be founded there?
It's the center of the world.
Then could it become the center of the Christian world too?
We can go there. We can find out.
Corinth longer than in any other place. And when he came back to Antioch, he had been away over 2 years. But his greatest work was still ahead.